What does it mean to become a pilgrim?
I think something happens when, to put it in from in my own frame of reference, when I accept and realize and know that my journey is, I'm on a spiritual journey through this life. I came with a spiritual contract, and when I accept that my life is a journey, let's put it simply like that, when I know it's a journey, then whatever life, whatever comes to me in life is part of my lessons that I need to learn from. So then, instead of, you know, what I would have previously thought of dramas or upsets, they become, now what's this, what has this arrived for in my life to teach me? And so then life itself becomes literally a sort of an exciting adventure. Now what does this mean? This is a new one, wasn't expecting this. And so I start listening for what life is trying to teach me. Then it becomes this incredible, exciting journey, rather than a sort of, stumbling from one crisis to another. Now, there are some times when I forget that, but when I remember it, my life becomes such a joy.
In your opinion, how would you describe the typical pilgrim?
The typical pilgrim changes. Before they know they are a pilgrim, most people step out on a pilgrim path like the Camino, not really accepting that they're a pilgrim. Something's happened in their life which hasn't gone right. There's something going, there's a drama that's happened that they're grappling with. So they want a great time, they step out onto the path, and what happens then, the moment where they become a pilgrim, is where they start opening up to a bigger part of themselves, a wiser part of themselves, a higher part of themselves, that wise inner guide to say, help, I need help. So there's a switch point from going because they're not quite sure, they know something in their life isn't working, to a moment that comes where they say, okay, it's not working, but I can't solve this myself. I need help from a bigger part of me, whether we call that St. James or whatever we call it. And when that openness for new insight to drop in from that higher dimension, that's when the magic happens. I mentioned before that wonderful piece from Einstein, that we cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that gave rise to the problem in the first place. When all is said and done, we need a new consciousness. So that's the critical point, opening up to the wisdom that is available when we say, help, I'm lost, I don't know.
Now, there are people who do go purely as a holiday on the Camino, and there are some, for example, couples who decide, we have a big anniversary coming up, let's celebrate that by doing the Camino.
Yes.
That's a different type of pilgrim.
Yes, but, you know, really, the holiday, as an expression, always becomes, along the Camino, holy days, because you're surrounded by people who are consciously and overtly on a spiritual journeying. So you really don't meet holidaymakers along this route. You meet people who are even the skeptics starting out, we've all got something in an aspect of ourselves which we can open up to. And I would say to you that don't forget that this route carries an incredibly powerful energy stream. People have been walking this route for thousands of years, asking deep, meaningful questions.
And that's tangible. You feel that, do you?
It is absolutely firmly embedded in this route. If you can envision 250,000 people every year for thousands of years walking that route, asking these deep, meaningful questions, is incredibly powerful. You don't need to believe in song lines or ley lines, but I tell you, that route is embedded with an incredibly powerful, regenerative, transformative energy. And even the densest, hardest skeptic is not immune from that.
Now, let's say somebody decides to go. What is the next step? Do you need the help of a tour operator to organize it for you, or can you start out entirely on your own?
You can do both. There are those who, for whatever reasons, will want to get somebody like Follow the Camino to package it for them and organize the dates and the accommodation and the transport. Others can, there are in virtually all countries around the world, there are confraternities, that is, local associations formed to help pilgrims prepare and get out onto the Caminos. They've got them in Ireland, the Friends of the Way of St. James in Ireland, wonderful organization, very active, the same in the UK, South Africa, Australia, all around the world. Budapest or these organizations.
So you can knock on their
you
door?
You can knock on their door. They said, great, they will put you in touch. They'll have evenings where you get to talk to seasoned pilgrims about what worked for them and what didn't. So there are wonderful facilities to help you prepare to go out.
And you say it's as important to allow time for spiritual preparation as it is for practical preparation, like what do I pack?
In an ideal world, I say you're going to travel this, because it's an overtly spiritual path, you're going to be traveling two paths simultaneously. We have a body which needs to be taken along the route, and it needs to be housed and fed and watered. You've also got a spiritual body, and it needs to be housed and fed and watered and nurtured. And both these things, they're not separate, they're together. It's a simultaneous pathway, both together, and each should be prepared for. Now, the reality is that most of us just stumble out onto the path. We haven't prepared ourselves, and we arrive out with our muscles, physical muscles and our soul muscles are tired and atrophied. That's how most of us arrive. But then, if we're sensible and we open up to, you know, doing the easing ourselves into the journey, our body, our soul, our mind becomes acclimatized and energized to the route.
Can you give a practical example of what one can do to prepare oneself spiritually?
Yes, absolutely. If you were to dial in onto your web browser, which I did recently, spiritual journeying, you will get something around 5.5 million hits will come up, those two words together. So the web, the internet, is a fantastic opportunity to look. Go to your local library, your local bookshop, go to the section on self-help or whatever. The bookshelves are full of wonderful books to help you prepare for this. There's a wealth of information out there. And of course, the pilgrim associations themselves, they will provide you with reading material. In my books, I've got a bibliography at the back of suggested reading. Now, again, most people preparing for this, probably, you know, they'll pressurize people. But if you can, yes, please prepare yourself and also prepare some questions before you go. I've got some questions in each of the books to help you reflect and ask some of those deeper questions that sort of bubble to the surface when our lives begin to, you know, reach a crisis point.
And maybe start a journal.
And absolutely start a journal. There's nothing, most people, you know, writing a journal is wonderful, because out of that then comes new insights and new questions. So a journal is a great way to help prepare for this.
Are there any health or age limits?
No, I would say absolutely no. It's sensible, you know, if you've got, you know, you've had heart problems or you've got diabetes or other, you know, medical issues, go and speak to your GP. But my experience is that anybody, in whatever condition it is, you bring it, you drag it onto the Camino, and providing you are sensible in the early parts, you know, you don't overdo it, you don't try and keep up with somebody who's up ahead, you find your own pace, and you're sensible in the first week to 10 days, your body, your mind, your soul will acclimatize and adjust, and from then on, you will find it getting easier and easier, and you will find your own pace. So, and of course, with the Camino Francés, there's accommodation all along the route, so you can stop at any stage. You can stop in the next half an hour, or if you want to go for another hour. And of course, you can't book in advance on the Camino into the albergues. You have to just arrive. So, you know, there's this wonderful openness to, you know, you just keep going until you're tired, until your body says, I need to stop. And then you stop wherever you are.
Is it possible in a wheelchair?
Absolutely. Every year, wheelchair people arrive at the end. Absolutely. Again, you need to pace it but the whole people do it absolutely in wheelchairs.
And is cycling cheating?
No. There's no cheating on the Camino. You will get a different experience when you cycle.
In what sense?
Well, in the sense that you're going at three times the speed of a walker. You have to watch out for traffic. You know, things are flashing. You know, there are other things occupying your mind. Whereas if you're walking, you can lift up, you can look around. It's a very different experience. I've been on both, and I can tell you, walking, it's the slow pace. And of course, with a bicycle, you can't be part of the grouping that forms, because you're traveling at a different speed. So if you meet people in the evening, they're gone, you'll never see them again. Whereas this walking group, because you're all walking at the same pace, you're forming this family that we spoke about earlier. This family forms because this group has emerged, out of which you each all walk at 3.5 kilometers an hour. So you miss out on that aspect of pilgrimage, but it's all legitimate.